Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges, chapter number one. Judges, chapter number one. While you are turning, there's one very, very important announcement that we were asked to make, that we wanted to make sure we got it in. Rochelle Medica's birthday is today, and that was Brother Rob Medica. I want to make it very clear. He's the one that wanted to make that known and clear. Amen. Make sure you wish her a happy birthday at the end of the service. But Judges, chapter number one. I'm going to preach this evening, Lord willing, here for a few minutes on the danger of mediocrity. The danger of mediocrity. If you know anything about the book of Judges, it's a pretty, I don't know how to describe it. It's a strange book, and I say that with full conviction in it being the Word of God. That's nothing against the Word of God. I mean, what happened in it was the nation of Israel went off the rails, is what I'm trying to say. And they went down some bad paths, and they did some bad things that happened there, and God records them to us as a warning. But it went bad, but it started off mediocre. Didn't start off bad. Didn't start off great. It just started off okay. Let's take a look at it in Judges chapter number 1 and verse 21. It says, "And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day," unto the writing there of the book. Go down, skip down to verse number 27. It says, "Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanak and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong." That's good, right? Israel was strong. "That they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." So here we see, and we're introduced to the continuing conquest of the promised land. By now, Joshua had passed away. He had the Lord had taken him. He was no longer the leader, but he had left the nation of Israel with a clear direction and a clear mandate. And if you want to, just turn a couple of pages back to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua was the opposite of mediocre, I think. In verse number 15, it says here, he makes this bold declaration: "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He said, we're going to do what's right. We're going to follow God all the way through. And that's the standard. That's the example that he set. But then when he passed off the scene, and no doubt others that were in that original group that came in started to pass off the scene, we find what we just read an example of in Judges chapter number 1, which was a settling, a contentment with less than what God had given them to do. We find here in Judges that many of the tribes would in some way not complete the task fully that God had given them. Now, think about where they're at. They're in the promised land. They're no longer in the wilderness. They had cleared that hurdle. They had come through the wilderness for 40 years. They had come across the Jordan River in a miraculous way, and they had seen Jericho and the walls collapse. They had seen all those things. Those are great things. Those are good things, but they come to a point where they just stop. They said, you know what? That's enough. Look again where we are at in Judges chapter number 1. We first read about Benjamin there. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. That's an interesting one there. You ever hear about Jerusalem? We preached on Sunday night about Psalm 137, fast forward way far ahead in the history of the nation of Israel, where they have been now in the Babylonian captivity, and they're looking back and they're longing for what? They're longing for Jerusalem. They're longing for the city of Zion, which we know as the city of David, which, by the way, wasn't a Benjamite. He was of Judah. So in this, you see that there was a wasted opportunity there. If you look at it, you could compare it with Joshua chapter number 15. The boundary for Benjamin and Judah apparently ran right through Jerusalem. And what we know of as the city of David perhaps could have been the city of Benjamin if they had just done what God had given them to do. Now, I think God in His sovereign plan has it all worked out the way it needed to be worked out. But you see here, what a city that they failed to take over. They failed to do anything about. We read it in verse 27, neither did Manasseh. Now go back and look in verse number 29. It says, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Now look at verse number 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Down to verse number 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Go down to verse number 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anoth. But he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anoth became tributaries unto them. So you look at that and you go, it's going okay. But it really wasn't what God had said. They were powerful. They had the ability to exercise dominion over and gain tribute from some of these people. But that's not what God said to do. They went from fulfilling everything that God had given them to do, to now they are content with not quite going all the way. And when you know about the rest of Judges and the way it goes, you know there stands out as a warning to us, and it's beware of mediocrity. This acceptance of mediocrity would plague Israel in the coming years. It would contribute to the spiral that Judges describes and the attitude of every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. You know, if you can get to a place of justifying your actions against God in one small area, you can get to a place of justifying your actions against God in every area. And what happened here, you look at it from a pragmatic standpoint, oh, they were okay, they were fine. You know, taxes were being collected in some ways. Hey, that boosts wealth, that helps us out here. But it wasn't what God said to do. They said, we're content with the mediocre. The Bible in different ways warns against being content with spiritual mediocrity. We're going to stay pretty close to Judges 1, but I want to read to you a couple other passages to see that there are other ways that God speaks out or warns against this. First of all, I think of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. He says, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Talking about even the men of God, supposedly, not doing fully their job. And here's what he says. He says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So they've taken a mediocre approach to the problems that were there with the nation of Israel. You know what God said? God said, get idols out. God said, don't worship in the high places. No matter who you're worshiping, don't do it. You go to Jerusalem, you go to the temple, and you know what they would do over and over? They would get the idols out, but leave the high places. They would remove the idols, but they would maintain the groves in some sort of way. In other words, they would take a medium step towards what God had given them to do. Oh, beware of spiritual mediocrity. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. There's certain things, certain subjects you think about where just the vivid visual that God paints comes to mind. In Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8, God describes Ephraim this way, speaking of representing the northern kingdom of Israel. He says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. You know what he called them? He said, they're half baked. So they're they're overcooked on one side, not cooked enough on another, the other side. And there's kind of that's kind of a very vivid description of what mediocrity is. It is kind of being, overdone on one side, not done enough on another side, and at the end of the day, the whole cake's no good at the end of the day. How about all the way at the end of the scriptures in Revelation chapter number 3, verses 15 and 16, the very famous, or I should say infamous, church at Laodicea. The Bible says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth." They had become content with a level of spiritual mediocrity. And so the Bible warns us about this. We see it play out in the book of Judges. And so there's some things out of here, I think, that might can help us this evening as a warning. I don't know. It might be just coming off a revival meeting. There might be somebody in here that you made a decision for the Lord. You made it, it's a personal thing. It was something between you and God. And maybe nobody else even knows about it. And now that a few days have passed, you have become comfortable with explaining to yourself, explaining away why you don't have to kind of go all the way with it. Don't take a mediocre approach to the things of God. We kind of get this in a lot of areas. There's someone I know who's not affiliated with here, but he's a coach, and he coaches ball, and I've heard him address his players at times, and when his players leave, he says to them, "Be great." And instead of, be good, he says, "Be great." And there's a certain type of wisdom to it. Why settle with just being good, is what he's saying, when you can go and be great? If the world, and we can look at things like that in the world that way, why not look at things like that, look at the things of God that way? Don't just be good. Not be great within yourself, but go to accomplish everything that God's given you to do. Amen. A lot of times, and I can imagine this came into play here, a lot of times, fear keeps us from going all the way with God. It might have been here that there was fear. There was a fear of failure, that what if we don't have the manpower to take it over? What if we can't get the job done? And I could even imagine in some of the council meetings or whatever that made these decisions, or where people would come up with excuses like, we can't right now, but maybe next year we can do it, or maybe within the next, in our 5-year plan, we will include the overtaking of the city of Jerusalem. Maybe in our 10-year plan, we will do so. And really, they should have done it then. They should have done it right away. Sometimes I think, when it comes to the things of the Lord, and when it comes to living our lives for God, we have to almost come to a place of being more satisfied with the thought that I'm gonna try to do what God's given me to do, even if I fail, rather than worrying about whether all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Sometimes we just have to launch out and say, "Lord, I'm going to do my best that I can do for you. Put it in your hands." Even if for some reason I fail from my standpoint, I will be able to look back on it with a contentment in my heart, knowing that I gave it all for my Lord. There's a danger in mediocrity. I want you to consider a couple of things from this passage. First of all, I want you to remember that God set the boundaries. God set the boundaries. When we read through all of this, you could compare it back to the book of Joshua. As a matter of fact, go ahead, you can keep your finger there. Go ahead and turn back to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance by them. By lot was their inheritance, and the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe, for Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and of an half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto Levites he gave none inheritance. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore gave you no part of the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle. So, and verse number 5 says, as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. So when we're reading Judges and we see, you know, the children of Benjamin did not do, and neither did Manasseh, neither did Ephraim, neither did Zebulun, and neither did Asher, and neither did Naphtali. When we read those things, we're reading about things that were within boundaries that God had drawn, that they had failed to conquer. They failed to do what God had given them to do. God had established these boundaries, not Moses, not Joshua, not any other man, but God had. So that means they were embracing mediocrity as opposed to the goal that God Himself had established to meet the needs of every individual tribe. So I can imagine, you know, there's a Naphtali or a Manasseh going, you know what, we've got enough room. We don't need to exert ourselves to go out and do more, but God's the one that had set those boundaries. It's always dangerous. Now, there's two sides to this. One is to make sure that we are not leaving on the table anything that God has for us to do, but two, to make sure that we're always pursuing things that God has established. You know, it's always in every way dangerous when people start comparing themselves among themselves. You know, God's given me a job to do. And there's a lot of preachers that I know and a lot of pastors that I know, and some have all sorts of different styles and personalities and different areas of influence or whatever. And you know what? You know, it's important for me to understand this is what God gave me to do, not what God gave somebody else to do. Or I'm not looking at somebody else to figure out what God has given me to do. I need to know from heaven, what does God want me to do? You know, God probably hasn't called me to be a great opera singer, I don't think. I don't think that's, you know, my role in life, but I'm pretty comfortable. I'm pretty comfortable admitting or acknowledging that. You know, so I could say I could try to force something on the one hand and go, you know, I want to do this and pursue something that is just not within what God has given me to do, and I could be miserable trying to pursue something that's really not within the boundaries of what God has given me to do. On the other side, I could say, you know what, I know what God has given me to do, but I don't think I can do it, or I don't think I want to do it, or I don't think I want to exert the energy to do it, and I can also forfeit the blessing of God by not doing it. In other words, God, remember, God is the one that set the boundaries. Remember this in Matthew chapter number 25 and verse 15. It talks about the parable there where the talents are being distributed. It says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. You know, God has within the body of Central Baptist Church, God has a group of people, and He set up things that you can do. And there's times where He's probably maybe even prompted your heart about things that you can do or you should do. And those are things, it's easy to look around. You know, you can walk up and see a trash can that's full and go, you know, there's a full trash can, somebody should take care of that. But I'm thankful sometimes somebody looks at that full trash can and goes, you know, I should take care of that. What I mean is, we need to pay attention to what God has given us to do. And determine, you know what, I'm going to do it with all my might. I might fail. I might fall short. I will fall short within me. I will fall short. I am inadequate, but if God set the boundaries, if God determined that this is something that He wants me to do, I need to go for it. I want to be like a Caleb. I want to be like a Joshua, not like these that were just content to go, you know what, we've done enough and it's okay. God set the boundaries. God's not looking for people to be superhuman or superheroes. He's just looking for people to be super obedient. God sets the set the boundaries. Secondly, the people set the expectations. The people set the expectations. God said, all right, here's your boundaries. This is what you should do. Although he had clearly set those boundaries, the people determined what they could settle for. The people said, all right, well, all right, God said that that's ours, but you know what? If the people are paying us taxes, it's probably okay. And you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that we read a list of different tribes that fell into the same things, because you know what happens. Once one person gets by with it, you look and go, well, if it works for them, it must be okay for me to do. Again, in every way you look at it, self-comparison is never the wise way to go. Self-comparison will either set me up for something that I cannot accomplish because it is not God's intention for me to do so. I'm just trying to match exactly what someone else will do. Or self-comparison will give me an excuse to not do what God has given me to do because, you know what? They seem to be okay. Well, listen, that shouldn't be where our expectations go. What should be the expectation? I want you to listen. I'll read to you a couple of scriptures. You can turn there if you like. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 23. Except I should say Colossians 3 and verse 23. There's nothing quite like that feeling of standing in front of a room of people and saying a verse and looking at it and realizing it's not what you want, what you thought it was going to be. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. He's talking about even masters and servants there. But that's the attitude we should take. Whatsoever you do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. It's not about, well, what's this one doing or that one doing. It's what's pleasing to the Lord. That should be the expectation that we set. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That should be what sets our expectations, is what glorifies God. What can I do that is heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man? You know, there's lots of ways that we go. There's sometimes where we don't do something out of disobedience. There's sometimes we don't do something that's out of a false humility. Oh, I can never do that because I wouldn't be perfect enough. You know, we're always going to fall short. So just do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it heartily. Do it so that you can honor and glorify God in what you do. Do it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. As one tribe after another settled into their mediocrity, it would become easier for the next tribes to set the bar lower. It's just how humans work, right? When we settle in to mediocrity, it always trends downward. It never trends upward. They could have said, you know, something like, we have plenty of room, we don't need it. We'll let them stay there and we'll take their taxes. We don't need those other cities. You see, their expectations that they set for themselves, they were set by pragmatism and not by faith. You know, the end justifies the means. We're okay, therefore we're okay. You know, we have enough room, we're fine. We don't need to put forth the effort. We don't need to do the extra work. But faith said, you know what? This is the boundaries that God's given you. Go take every grain of sand that's within it all. Don't leave any of it behind. Their expectations were set by comfort instead of commitment. You know, following through, doing everything that God's given us to do isn't always the most comfortable thing to do. But what they should have been is committed. I mean, Moses had done great things for God. Joshua had done great things for God. Now he is off the scene. Now you have a new group, a new generation, a new dynamic there. Should have been, you know what? We're committed to doing great things for God as well. Amen. We're committed to obeying the Lord, not to our own comfort. Their expectations were set by convenience and not obedience. You know, our goal should always be to obey. We preach about it Sunday morning that God does not fully bless those who do not fully obey. Our job should be, or our goal should be 100% and total obedience. And if there is an area of our life where the corners aren't swept out or where there's something that we have a question about whether it is pleasing to the Lord, we shouldn't take a stance of mediocrity toward it. We should seek the face of God as to what He would have us to do and to take care of it accordingly. We should always set those expectations, not according to others or other people, but we should set our expectations according to what God would have us do. Our goal should be to do, should not to be to do what we think is enough. Our goal should be to do what is pleasing to God. And didn't they have the guaranteed empowerment to do everything that God had given them to do? They did. It was all there. It's even clear. The sad thing of it, what they were doing here, they were doing from a position of strength. You know, when they went against Jericho, they weren't really in a position of strength. It took a complete miracle of God. But then when you read Judges chapter number 1, you realize they were actually now in the position of strength. But they let up and they said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to go any further. They said, mediocre is fine. Thirdly, so God set the boundaries. The people set the expectations. And then thirdly, their mediocrity set the future. Their mediocrity set the future. Israel, through Judges, as we've already noted, would be continually plagued by the surrounding enemies and by the idolatry of the land of Canaan. The strong generation that is represented by Joshua and coming out of them, they might could have handled the presence of these other people, but their children obviously could not. You know, moms and dads, you know, let's not coast through being comfortable with what we can deal with, because our mediocrity is going to set the future for those behind us. You know, our children need parents that they can look at one day and go, you know what, they gave it their all for the Lord. They did all they could for the Lord. Our church and the young people in our church need to have an expectation set and a standard set before them that, you know, those who went before me, they did it all. They did all they could for the Lord. They spent themselves for the Lord. And when they went into heaven, they did so in great victory. The king, who was a good king, but by the name of Hezekiah, he provides a great example of how this attitude can affect those that come after. If you remember, Hezekiah's life was extended miraculously because of a sickness, and God said he was going to die, and then he begged God, and God spared his life. And that extra time, so many negative things happened. One of which was he just opened up the doors to the people that would eventually come in and take them over, showed them everything in the kingdom. Isaiah came to him and warned him. He said, you've messed up. Here was Hezekiah's response. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Amen. Hezekiah told him, you're going to be fine, but your children are going to pay. And Hezekiah's attitude was, well, at least it'll be good in my time. You see, his mediocrity at that point was set the future. It was going to have an impact on the future. You know, we might think we're good, we're set, we don't need any more ground, we don't need any more space, we've got it all under control. But if we're content with mediocrity, what we're doing is setting the future for those who will come after us. Don't be content with mediocrity. Pursue everything that God has put in front of us with everything that we have to pursue it with. Don't settle for less than God's best. You know, don't Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Realize God's the one that sets the boundaries. You know, parents, if you got children, you got multiple children, you know, don't compare them individually one with another. They each have something special that God has for them to do. As adults, we need to remember that even about us. It's not about matching up to someone else. It's about fulfilling that which God has given us to do. And then pursuing it with our whole heart. Not settling less than for what God has for us. I don't know, maybe somebody did. You made a commitment. Recently you told the Lord, you know what? Lord, you've dealt with my heart about this. I know I've struggled in times like that with my life. God wanted me to be a preacher. I wanted to do something else. And there's all sorts of halfway steps that you go through. This is just testimony time. All sorts of halfway steps that you go through in the middle of that. You know, oh Lord, I could kind of do this part time and this part time. Well, and sometimes that's what has to be. But what it was really within me was a struggle of the commitment. I needed to commit full time. However that carried itself out, it would carry itself out, but I needed to be fully committed to what God had given me to do. I realized there was no mediocre way to say yes to God. It was either a full yes or a halfway no. But there was no halfway yes with God. Amen. Don't settle for less than God's best. You know, this is as much for me probably as it is anybody else. I had strong Christian home. I had you know, trailblazers that went before me, back to my grandparents' generation of people that got saved and got right with the Lord. And it can be very easy to kind of put it in neutral, as it were, and kind of coast along, but we don't need to be settled and okay with mediocre. Because there's those coming behind us. They've never seen the victories that we've seen. They've never experienced the victory that we have. They need to see people that do what they do heartily as unto the Lord, that whatever they do it all to the glory of God, so that there's nothing slight about it, but it's an all-in Christianity that's willing to fill every boundary that God has given. Dear Lord, we thank you for all you do.